welcome world to Headshot MMA with Gabe and Adrian. I'm Adrian.
And I'm Gabe. Welcome joining back.
Me. Yeah, welcome back.
254.
Yeah.
We had to do it again. Get all our ducks in a row. Get this technology in order.
Hopefully. At a weird time.
Strange times.
So it's kind of, it's good to be back, but at the same time it's weird to.
Well, we've always wanted to shoot everything together in the same room, in the same, you know, place, so that way we could kind of feed off of our, you know, physical kind of, you know, notations. But given the circumstances, I mean, I think it kind of works out a little bit, being that we can record, you know, at our homes and be able to
how everybody else is doing, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty. Yeah, I mean, we'll get all the cameras and all that set up pretty soon, and we'll get all that situated. Maybe we'll start a stream. We'll start doing, yep, like they do live streams and stuff like that. So
yeah, man, soon. It's in the works right now. Like I said, hopefully
we can get all that squared away.
Yeah, right now everything's awkward. You know, as you can see from, you know.
We haven't had live fights since. February? So, March.
Yeah.
March. It was March when was it when
Connor fought, right? Was it? Somebody fought right there.
Well, I think it was Tony and
Gaethje, yeah, you're right.
And Gaethje. And then before that it was Khabib and Dustin. So those had live crowds with them, and that was about 8 months ago, 7 months ago, before we saw people inside the buildings. Yeah. So now here we are, 7-8 months later, and we're having empty buildings with just straight up fights. It's almost like a backyard fight, you know. meet me in the back, but instead, no, meet me 16 hours on a flight in Abu Dhabi.
On the beach,
and we can square things away then and there. But I mean, not a lot has happened anyway with this division in general, with the 155 anyway, besides Connor fighting. And I mean, who else has been fighting in the 155 besides, you know, obviously Connor's always going to be talked about. We saw Gaethje piece up Tony Ferguson after standing in 3 weeks before, and then Khabib's dad passed away, he stepped in 3 weeks, I believe it was 3 weeks before. So here we are, interim champion versus regular champion. Khabib's ready to go. For some reason, Conor fought Cowboy Cerrone in the welterweight division. I'm not sure how that relates, but he's still listed as number 4 in the 155 ranking, so he still is there. Not sure why Tony Ferguson's still above him, but we're talking in January. This fight that's going to happen tomorrow might have some sort of relation to what's going to happen in January when Conor fights Dustin Poirier at 170 for some reason. For 170.
I think that's what Conor wants, but
how does that relate to the 155 title?
I think Dana said he doesn't want it. It's not happening at 170. And even Khabib said that the fight needs to be at 155 if they're going to have a rematch or. So right now everything's, even to me too, remember I had mentioned to you, it's a little weird when you don't hear it officially from the UFC, you kind of just hear it from.
Well, I mean, they were planning on going forward with a December charity MMA fight in Dublin, for Dustin's charity organization called The Good Fight, where Conor was going to donate $500,000 to fight Dustin Poirier in a somewhere, some probably back gym in Dublin, Ireland. He's paying the man $500,000 to a charity.
Yeah. Under Conor's promotion.
Under McGregor Sports and Entertainment.
This is going to be not part of the UFC.
But now that UFC caught wind, here we are talking about January Dustin versus Conor.
But I mean, it's difficult because, you know, like I've always told people when we've seen it firsthand, how much, you know, attention and draw Conor is. And even this last time when we went to Vegas, you know, a few weeks ago, and it was weird because I remember I told you that the week before we stayed literally above the T-Mobile Arena. And it's like, it's weird to see the streets empty or not as crowded as usual. So it makes you think, you're like, how if this pandemic is still going on, how are you going to, I mean, obviously, you know, the pay-per-view buys are going to be there. Conor always exceeds and sells out, you know, the highest pay-per-view numbers, or even when he fights in the stadiums and the arenas. So,
well, that's where he wants to push it, to the Cowboy Stadium. I don't see Dustin Poirier being a worthy opponent to fight him in Cowboy Stadium. I can see him fight Dustin, beat Dustin, maybe have the Khabib rematch in Cowboy Stadium that holds, what does it hold, like 100,000 people or something like that? I mean, something like some ridiculous amount. So I'm assuming that's what the plan is, but I mean, sound like he wants to fight Dustin in Cowboy Stadium, which I don't think is a good idea as far as I'm concerned. I mean, they probably can do some social distancing. I don't know what they plan on doing.
And you know, and right now they're just rumors. They're not like, I don't, you know, it's not guaranteed, but you know, they threw out the Pacquiao thing out there, and they were trying to say that this is just, you know, a little tune-up fight for him to, you know, eventually fight Pacquiao. And even he had said that he was going to fight Pacquiao sometime next year or the end of this year. I'm not sure what what the tweet said, but I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, so it makes you think it's everything's up in the air. Everything seems like it's kind of mentioned just like almost like a moment kind of thing. It's never like, hey, you know, this is going to happen. It's always like, I think, even with the UFC, it's kind of scrambling to kind of make, I'm sure they're hurting like every other, you know, every other sport, of course, without the fans. But, you know, I like that they're attempting to put good fights at the Apex, in Abu Dhabi, you know.
Well, I mean, Tony Ferguson's still talking about Dustin, still talking about Conor. Right. And he quoted, and I quote, "They're both bitches." I'm not sure why he still keeps running his mouth. He backed up Dustin about the whole money thing. Right. And now he's backpedaling himself where he doesn't want to fight because he doesn't want to be underpaid.
Right. And I mean, hasn't this always been the issue with fighters? Like, that's, you know, they complain about the pay and everything. I've always said, if you're a draw and you can bring the fans in and you show the numbers, you deserve to get paid. But if you're just making noise and not doing anything about it, not winning, not, you know, then why talk? You know, it's like I said, nobody's ever gonna duplicate what, you know, what Conor did, and that always happens. I mean, look at Mayweather, for example. You know, how many boxers hated on him because, you know, he was making noise. But
well, Tony's calling Dustin a sellout because he's taking Conor's money, and he's
charity, right?
Yeah, for the charity. I mean, because Conor's still going to give the money for the charity, and
but honestly, do you think it's that, or do you think it's just fighters that? It's almost like, you know, wanting to get the golden ticket. You're like, shit, this other guy.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Me. You know, like,
I'm sure that's
if,
what.
I think if Conor would have told Tony the same thing, Tony would have jumped on that situation. You know, leaped on that situation right away too. You know, he would have been like, oh, I'm all over it. I want to fight Conor, you know, because it's, think of it as exposure, you know, whether you fight him and, you know, you lose or you win, whichever it is, it's still, you know, Conor, like I said, draws from everywhere. So,
well, they're saying he's playing it safe by fighting Dustin. I mean, with the rankings the way they are, I mean, I think we see a lot of moving around anyway. So, you know, obviously Dustin's still number two from barely losing to Khabib. Tony's at number three. So, I mean, it almost makes sense for Tony and Dustin to fight. I mean, but, I mean, you know, nobody really cares for that. And if Conor says he wants to fight one of those two guys, it's going to happen. It's going to happen because that's where the money's at. That's what makes sense. That's the road back to Khabib, which we're not, you know, underestimating this weekend, you know, and obviously are, like, overseeing that. And we're always talking about Conor. If you watch any interviews this weekend with Khabib, all they talked about is Conor with him and asking him, when are you going to fight Conor again? And he does not want to fight Conor again. He does not want to fight Dustin again. Who was he going to fight then? So here we go on to the conversation about GSP. And I don't even know if we should even go there because he still has to fight Justin tomorrow. Tomorrow morning.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it right now. I'm like, I gotta get my coffee prepped in the morning.
So, so, I mean, if he gets past Justin, to make that 30th fight, or the 30th win, I should say, is GSP really the answer? I mean, GSP's not going down to 155. Or, I mean, he's not.
I saw an interview yesterday, and he said that he can make weight. It's just, you know, he said it has to be for, you know, the right motivation.
He said the stars got to align.
Yeah, might as well just say the money has to be right. You got to pay me a shit ton of money to risk, you know, going into... Khabib's only fought a lightweight all his career, so, you know, imagine maybe, GSP's never
fought lightweight. Does he walk 170? I mean...
No, I mean, GSP walks...
No, I'm talking about Khabib.
That dude can get as much as, like, 190, man.
Yeah, that's like, what GSP was saying. GSP was like, Khabib can make it up to 185. Yeah. I mean...
He drops a lot of weight, man, to, like... And you see the struggles when he weighs in. This is not the first time that...
Today he weighed in for the first time I've ever seen without any clothes on. He required a towel today.
Yeah, remember when we went and... We were going for the... That was the Ferguson and Khabib fight. I think it was the first time. And they canceled it because he ate tiramisu the night before weigh-in.
Now so, the infamous nickname that Tony calls him?
So, like, you know, like, he's had issues for a while. And you know, it sucks that fight's been cursed. You know, it would have been a good one to see. But, you know, I think right now... If he gets past Justin, I mean, like you said, I mean, who's left? I mean, if he doesn't want to, like, say he gets past Justin and he doesn't want to rematch with Conor or Dustin, or even if, I mean, what are they going to try? They can't say we're going to do the Tony fight again because Tony lost to Justin. How can you leapfrog? You know, you didn't have a victory, but yet we're going to put you in
the next in line.
Yeah, it's like, so I think. I guess Dana had promised Khabib if he wins, you know, something special. So maybe, I mean, I don't know.
Is that something special, Michael Chandler?
Newly signed
from Bellator?
I'm a Michael Chandler fan. Like, I like him, dude. That's one of the guys that I remember always, like, saying to myself, man, if they get somebody from Bellator, get him. You know, because he's that guy. I think he would give Khabib some challenges, you know.
You think so?
Especially the wrestling, you know, because, like, they're almost, it's kind of like they're almost identical, but, I mean, I can't say yet until I see this fight in the morning. I can't. I want to see how Justin, you know, kind of reacts to Khabib's, you know, like sambo and takedowns and all that. Because I mean, it is. Remember, I had told you it's more of a smothering than it is actually wrestling. You know, he ties you up, puts all his body on you. It's basically, you know, you having to carry his weight on the ground also. And we know Justin's a wrestler too, so. But we have not seen Justin on the ground as much to say, oh, he's, you know. We know Justin as, shit, I'm gonna go out there and, you know, give him hell with, you know, just that wild style, so.
But I'm can't not, say I mean, yet. I'm noticing that a lot of people are not convinced that Khabib is going to walk through this as easy as he always does through everybody else throughout his career. I mean, I don't know. I've seen Justin fall before to Dustin Poirier, yeah. To Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But
honestly, I mean, what he showed in the Ferguson fight was a different Justin. Compared to those other fights, it was more.
Will we see that? Will we see a patient, a counter striking? Will we see that Justin tomorrow night, or will we see an anxious, uncontrollable? You know, where Trevor Whitman doesn't have no control over him, where he tells him, where he just goes out there and swings for the fences. Gets tired and goes down. What will we see tomorrow?
Because I think it all depends on, you know, the first. I always say within the first 25 seconds of a fight is when you kind of see, all right, you know, because I mean, everybody's always. Because how do you train for Khabib?
What we know what he's gonna do. So what's the difference? I mean, look at Dos Anjos, black belt. Mm-hmm. Khabib got him by decision, unanimous. What's the difference between maybe? I mean, I don't know how Barbosa. I mean, Barbosa's pretty damn good. Edson right. Barbosa, decision, unanimous. Those guys, he didn't choke out. Mm-hmm. Ally Quinta.
The glorified wrestler.
He went all five rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So there's something. There's a trend there where these wrestlers are making it further than these strikers with Khabib. So I mean, that gives it more of an edge for Justin Gaethje if he uses his wrestling and not goes out there being who called him the Homer Simpson of the UFC. I forgot who called him that. Some guy he fought called him that. I don't know who called him that, but
probably. I was gonna say Tony, but Tony hasn't fought him yet, so I don't.
So I mean,
but that was the whole conversation when you know they announced when they made the whole Tony fight. Tony is a different type of fighter that Khabib has never faced before. Even listening to Eddie, which is you know his trainer, head trainer, so he you know it's. So, like the first of the fight of what's gonna happen, you know? Because what is Khabib's strength taking you down, right? I mean, he got lucky with that big old overhand. What is it? What was it? A big old overhand left or right?
That was it right? Yeah. Well, that's because Conor was anticipating the low dive.
Yeah. So I mean, but even then, look like how you said that. His corner was yelling, don't stand with him. You know, don't.
They did not want Conor to fight, to get any shots in. So they told Khabib to go down, take him down.
So imagine, I mean, even if you're Trevor Whitman, what right away, I mean, what from what you see, what are you going to expect from him? You know that he's going to try to take you down, pressure you, smother you, beat you on the ground. So that's where Justin's wrestling defense has to come, you know, right away, because that it has to be expected. It's almost like the Masvidal and Ben Askren fight, you know, when Masvidal said they knew he was gonna, you know, shoot in right away, that's what he caught him with the flying knee. So it's like with Khabib, you know, that's what he does. And you just said it, decisions, you know. Where do we have knockout there? Where do we have, you know, a 50, you know, a TKO or a knockout in his record, you know? So a lot of it is submission, a lot of it is decision, you know. So for Justin, it's expected, it's going to be expected of Khabib to shoot first, you know.
But I mean, will he shoot? I mean, being that they're anticipating him to shoot,
I mean,
will he go for the legs? Like, he might try to pull a fast one, but I don't think he wants to be in that danger of Justin Gaethje's face. I highly doubt he wants to be in that face.
I mean, like I said, you know, with fighters that have, you know, a lot of wins by instinct, I'm not gonna stand with them. I don't have, you know, the boxing pedigree that he has or the stand-up success that he has. So what am I gonna do? I'm gonna do what I always do. You know, take him down, pound to pound. Look for the submission on the ground. So I mean, I would be very surprised if his corner is telling him, okay, we're gonna take a chance. We'll stand with Gaethje. We'll see how he reacts to, you know, because it's a risk. So I mean, are they willing to take the risk, or are they gonna stick to their game plan and just say, you know what, we're just gonna do what we're good at? Which, like I said, a lot. I mean, for Justin, that's, like I said, I'm anxious to see how he'll react. Can he stuff the takedown? Can he sprawl? Can he, you know?
Well, he says he's been wrestling since 4. He's a high school wrestler.
But he wrestles with bears. Bears.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Justin's wrestled a bear. But, you know, if Justin gets the collegiate background that he does, and he claims that he would be in trouble if he got put on his back. So that is embedded in his mind, that if he gets put on his back, he will be in trouble. So he got kind of muscle memory not to be put on the floor. So he's been working. Which is weird, is that his college coach, actually, his college wrestling coach is his actual wrestling coach now.
Yeah.
So he's traveling with him. He's in Abu Dhabi with him. I'm sure they're ready for the wrestling. They are ready for the wrestling, I promise you that. And I think he's a natural born striker, so I think Khabib's in trouble one way or another.
It's hard, because how do you, you know, I hope his emotions don't get the best of him, you know, where he goes in saying, you know, I'm gonna knock him out. I think I read somewhere that he said he's gonna try to submit him. So
yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen, but yeah. He is a +280 underdog versus Khabib. You put $100 down, which, you know, I wanted to do, would get a $380 return. Khabib is super high up there with a -340 favorite. So you would have to put $100 or $340 down just to win $100. So try not to put that down, but
I mean, there's different scenarios that have come to my head about, you know, when this fight, you know, is getting close, you know. And I told you about it. I said, you know, there's a chance that Justin could beat him. You know, there's a chance that
they're exactly the same body, dude. 5'10", 70-inch reach, 40-inch leg reach. I mean, they're exactly to the T the same person, with the difference being Justin having that 86% KO power and Khabib only having that 29% KO. But even then, Khabib's still on the low end, the 36% submission, 36% decision. There's no guarantee that Khabib's going to choke this guy out. Now, if you've seen like a 86% submission on Khabib, the way Justin has the knockouts, then I'd be kind of worried. But chances are, this could go five rounds.
Oh, yeah.
This could go five rounds, dude. We might see five rounds where Justin still possibly might lose, but he's still going to take it five rounds just the same way that Ally Quinta did, Edson Barboza did. We might not see, you know, nobody finish. These guys might be that good, but that's still going to give Khabib the W. You know what John Jones says? John Jones always says that if it goes to the decision, it's champion's favorite. So,
usually it is, you know, unless you show the judges, you know, unless you overwhelm the judges with a lot of, you know, a lot of work that you kind of have to prove to them that I did enough to, you know, to make the champion look like he's not a champ. So.
But I mean, what about that 80% takedown defense from Justin Gaethje? I mean that's pretty decent. I mean, he don't have any takedowns or submissions under his belt, but he does have the 80% defense. And Khabib only takes people down 44% of the time here. It says his accuracy is only at 44% as far as takedown. So less than half of the time he takes his opponents down. And he said it himself on the last embedded number 5. He said he will try. He said the difference between him and DC, because he was comparing DC when DC fought Stipe the last time. He told DC, well, the difference between me and you in grappling is that you tried one time and gave up. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep trying to take him down. I'm going to do 100 times. I'm going to try to take him down. So there'll be no fighting as far as on the feet go. I don't believe with Khabib. I don't honestly see him changing up his style. It's really about a strength and a stamina thing. And I hope that Justin has the stamina to sit there for as long as he did. With Tony. I mean, he went the fourth round.
And like you said, that's the thing with Khabib is the stamina, because he'll keep. That's his goal, is to keep you on the ground. He's not letting you get up. So if he has the opportunity to keep taking you down and keep you there, that's what he's gonna do. But of course, you know, now he knows kind of like the risk. Kind of, you know, he has to try to finish the fight. You know, where he sees an opportunity, he doesn't want to, you know, gas out, or he doesn't want to take the chance of taking it to the the fifth and final round, make it to, you know, get the decision. But of course, with Gaethje, it's like I said. I mean, I hope he's prepared. And then I'm sure his corner knows. You know, that's the scenario that's playing in their mind. That's what's gonna happen. But I guess the main thing is to try to avoid that as much as you can. You know,
we know what's gonna happen. The only question that everybody has is Gaethje going to stop what Khabib does to everybody? He doesn't even change his game plan. That's how confident Khabib is in his takedowns. He doesn't even change what he does. Everybody knows what he's gonna do. They told him on embedded. They told him, when Justin throws that knee, you hook that knee. You grab, reach for the knee. What does Henry Cejudo say? Bend the knee?
Bend the knee, pretty much. Yeah.
That's what he's going to do. He's going to try to bend Justin Gaethje's knee and keep him on the floor.
And this is where Justin has to throw a lot of leg kicks.
I have not seen Justin Gaethje on the floor.
Me neither.
I'm going to be honest with you. I have never seen him on the floor.
That's why it's hard for me to say. You know, well, it's one of those things where if I had enough fights to see him, okay, he's been taken down a few times, but he's been able to get up, or he's good on the ground, I can say, yeah. But we haven't seen that. So I like I say, I don't know. I mean, all the fights where I thought, even when he fought Eddie Alvarez, which Eddie's a wrestler also, there was no takedowns. There was all stand up. So
and I mean, technically he lost that match because of the knee.
Yeah, the knee.
That's which was still not determined. I mean, it was determined obviously legal, but it was considered at the time illegal, right? I mean, it was an illegal knee. So, but the, I mean, in the end, it still stood. Justin took the loss. That's only one of the other losses that he has. Just Dustin and Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only losses he has. And he knows his mistakes on that one. They told him in the Tony fight, you need to not throw 100% of their shots, because you remember what happened last time when you were trying to take his head off. You got tired and they finished you. So that's what we saw against Tony, is a patient, counter-striking, distance fighter.
But honestly, he had nothing to worry about as far as Tony taking him down.
I think Tony went for a couple of takedowns, but it didn't work. So.
Yeah, it didn't work, yeah. Because that's Tony's strength.
But I think Tony was beat up by the time he wanted to throw those. He wanted.
I think at that time, yeah, more desperate than anything, you know. So, I mean, it's, like I said, it's an interesting fight because, you know, of the styles. And then, you know, people always like that. You know, styles make fights and things like that. So, I think that's why Khabib is so eager to, you know, fight GSP, because GSP has...
But will Justin catch him with a punch and knock him out?
I think that's probably what they're...
Will Khabib go for the takedown and Justin give him something that he's never felt?
I don't know. Catch him with the knee, catch him with an uppercut. You know, because that's... As he's coming in, you know.
We know Justin got the chin, so it's not going to be an issue. We've seen Tony almost knock him down a couple times. But I do see Justin pushing forward to try to finish the fight. I don't see Justin running. I don't see him giving up.
It's hard because with a fighter like Khabib, I think you kind of, you know, distance works, you know, kind of in your favor, kind of, but at the same time, it's how aware you are as what he's going to do and expecting what he's going to do. Because, you know, if you're a good stand-up fighter, of course, you know.
If Justin keeps the distance, he'll be able to escape the Superman takedown, the jump at you takedown. We've seen it against Connor in the first round. Connor stuffed majority of those takedowns. If you can keep that distance, no, what we're going to try, we're going to probably see is Khabib get it on against the cage and get some double hooks. You know what I mean? We're going to see him grab both of the legs and pull him down. That's if he can get him on the fence. He needs to stay away from that fence. I don't see him being successful in a distance grapple, a match. I don't see Khabib overextending himself to go for a takedown with Justin Gaethje. I don't see it. That is very dangerous for him.
Oh, and that's where Justin's, you know, like I said, reach and leg kicks have to come into play, you know.
I see a clinch against the fence, Khabib takedown. I'm saying that's what I think the plan is. Lots of clinching, lots of against the fence. There's no way he keeps distance with Justin. It's too dangerous, dude. It's too dangerous. There's too much knockout power and there's too much chances to see the entry.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be a chance to enter from a long distance against Justin. He's gonna punch. He's going to kick. Those kicks were phenomenal against Tony. He knew Tony's leg was jacked up and just went to work. I mean, and if they stay on the feet, he's going to be throwing kicks at Khabib, and Khabib's going to be feeling some kicks.
I think that's the best chance that he has, you know. And who knows? I mean, we haven't seen Khabib really take a punch. So, you know, we'll see, you know, if he's they're gonna say test his chin, you know, see where he's at. You know, they're gonna, I'm sure they're gonna try that a few times, you know, kind of bait him in. But it's dangerous, man. It's dangerous because, like you said, there's, you know, Khabib's gonna look for that. You know, his ally is the cage. You know, so he wants to keep you there. So, you know, keep you down is the best thing that he wants you. He was where he wants you to be. So it's gonna be a good fight, man. I hope it's gonna be a good fight, and I hope it goes five rounds. I mean, I want to see, you know, punishment on each side, I guess. So
we shall see. I guess we'll see tomorrow. I mean, maybe we can get a little post show, or maybe the next day or something. We got to get it in there. I mean, the show is on early, so I mean, maybe tomorrow night we touch base again and see where we're at, and then we can talk about basically what the 155 division is going to look like, what the 185 division is going to look like, because we haven't even touched that. We haven't even touched what's going to happen in the 185 division tomorrow, which, I mean, I know you aren't too excited about. I personally would like to see this match, you know, because, I mean, I kind of like Whitaker. I'm kind of a Whitaker fan. I've never seen Cannonier, because, I mean, Cannonier, I guess, at one point was a big guy.
He fought a heavyweight, man. He fought a heavyweight.
That's what I mean. He
fought a light heavyweight.
That's what I mean. I heard he made a big transformation or something going on.
Yeah,
but
he's a big boy, man. He's actually right in your backyard, right there at the lab. That's where he trains in London.
I seen Benson Henderson with him.
Yeah. So I mean, it's I like Cannonier. You know, I'm not too excited about, you know, the middleweights, because it's, put it this way, it's, you know, when you have a fighter that's almost cleared out the division, you're kind of, it's almost like with John Jones. You know, how many times have we said, you know, who's left? You know, is he going to fight DC again? Is he going to, I feel like there has to be a challenge. You know, these fighters need a challenge.
I think Whitaker can get the belt back. I honestly believe he can. I mean, I think he did something where he gassed out in that third round and just got picked apart. I mean, but I think the first two rounds, I mean, he was doing great. I thought he was moving and grooving. I mean, but I think right now what people would like to see, but again, Cannonier, yeah, new fresh blood on the line, but 5'11", the guy's 5'11". What is he? 6'4"? I mean, he's not a little guy. Izzy's pretty tall. I mean, that's why they're talking about John Jones fighting Izzy. I mean, I'm not sure we see this fight excite anybody, but it excites me because I want to see Robert Whittaker, old school Robert Whittaker, the one that knocked out Jacare. You know what I'm saying? He has some pretty big bombs back in the day.
And I think Whittaker's had a lot of, like, health scares and, you know,
he's had a rough year like everybody else. I mean, last year, I'm saying, he had it the year before. Now he's trying to get back on the road while everybody else is having a bad year.
So, you know, it's hard to say if any of that stuff had a factor in his fights with Izzy. And I think it's just hard to get excited for, you know, if Robert Whittaker wins, you know, a trilogy fight with, you know, with Izzy. But, I mean, like you said, it's Cannonier's new blood, and, you know, you're just, like I said, when you're cleaning out a division, you're just like, okay, you know, bring in a new guy. I don't want to fight the same guy over again. You know, it almost becomes kind of like, that's it. That's all you got. You know, for the longest time, we were saying, you know, John Jones needs to move up to heavyweight. You know, stop messing around with fighting DC again. And who are you waiting for? Anthony Johnson to come back? And, you know, it's like,
yeah.
You know, fight guys that you already beat, you know, so I think a lot of it is a challenge, and I think that's what Izzy wants, you know, a challenge. He sees an opportunity, like, hey, you know, Jones is, he's almost like a mini version of John Jones, so, but not really, because they're both probably the same height, you know?
It's just, yeah, they're about 6'4 each, so I definitely see that fight coming into fruition. Honestly, I mean, I'm not going to bag on the card. I mean, we got Walt Harris versus Alexander Volkov. We got some females on the card. I mean, there's not a lot going on this card. I know we do on the prelims. We got Tai Tuivasa fighting Stefan Struve. So, I mean, I see Stefan Struve going down. I mean, but this card is not going to be that great, and I can see why they put it at 11 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how Dana's bragging about it being trending worldwide and all this stuff.
I don't. The same that when Khabib fought Poirier, I think they had it at 11. I remember watching that fight early in the morning too. I think it's just something to do with Khabib. I think, you know, he wants to, because when the last fight that they had in Abu Dhabi, it was the regular time. I think usually the fights are in Vegas, so
yeah. And they would fight over there they would line it up with regular fights time here, but they would be fighting over there at like 3 a.m. or something, and I don't know if that's workable for, you know, Justin or Khabib. So
I think it's just hard for the UFC to kind of, remember how I told you, it's everywhere it's struggling because of, you know, the pandemic and everything. So it's kind of hard to, you know, how do you amp up a fight without, you know, Vegas, without the fans? So, you know, it's kind of course he's going to try to invest all his, you know, attention on this one and say this is going to break records and it's going to do this, it's going to do that.
Khabib's star. Know.
Yeah, it's like, we know. Come on. all the draws, they're kind of like stepping back a little bit. Even, you know, it's like this is the perfect time for them to take a break, you know, to do other things, because, you know, you're taking a risk on, I'm going to fight in a potentially an empty stadium. I'm only relying on, you know, the pay-per-view numbers.
Because, I mean, you honestly don't have nothing good coming up, I mean, other than Uriah Hall versus Anderson Silva. I mean, how can we be...
But even then, like...
How could you get excited about that?
You got introduced to Anderson Silva when he got knocked out by Weidman.
Yeah.
Remember, I was there watching. And I was telling you about the legend of Anderson and then the look he gets knocked out. So, you know, I don't even think a lot of people know. They're like, oh, it's Anderson's last fight. Who's Anderson? They, you know, it's not as big as it would be, you know, 5-6 years ago. You know, so like I said, I think right now it's hard to get excited for what's out there. I mean, we kind of just have to kind of just say, okay, well, that's good, I guess. It's a good, you know, it's a good fight. You know, I'm glad they're putting on fights. You know? Excuse me. You know, I'm glad they're at least attempting it, you know, at the Apex and, you know, Abu Dhabi. So it gives us something to watch. And as fans, you know, we enjoy it. But honestly, you know, it's like, and I think, I think an atmosphere builds the fight, you know, location.
Yeah,
and
Well, you know, it's hard to get excited over it, but. Like I said, maybe we touch base tomorrow. I mean, we'll see. We'll know more tomorrow. We'll know what's going on with the lightweight division. We'll know what's going on with the middleweight division.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about all we're going to get tomorrow. I mean, honestly, but because I don't see anything. I mean, besides maybe a couple weeks down the line, we got Thiago out, or Santos versus Glover Teixeira. And they're talking about that being a number one contender fight. Those guys. So, I mean, what will we see there? I mean, and that's a free fight.
Yeah.
And then that, I mean, who that they're gonna go against Błachowicz? I mean, they're gonna really put, if Glover wins, I mean, Błachowicz, that's scary, dude. Come on now. Yeah. That's kind of scary. Like, I mean, I'd rather see Thiago come through, and I mean, that might be a little bit more safe.
I think right now we just get excited over potential, you know, matchups. You know, right now
I mean, we could talk. We could talk all day. I mean, we still got potential.
I'm ready for Ngannou. I'm ready to hear an Ngannou fight. But like I said, a lot of these fighters, you know, they're gonna take their time. They're gonna say, you know what, there's nothing for me right now. There's no, you know, why would I take the risk to not even make anything, you know, that I'm used to making or making more money? You know, it's a gamble, but like I said, we'll have to wait. I think it's more exciting after the fight because we can actually
see. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more after that. We'll get this posted up and so that everybody can hear a little bit of what we're thinking about and go watch all the embeds and the countdown for sure before tomorrow. Hopefully tonight would be the night to catch up. Everybody made weight. There was nobody that didn't miss. We got a title fight tomorrow, and we'll touch base again tomorrow, man. I mean, I think that's the best thing to do because right now this is what we're working with. So
yeah, just get the coffee ready.
Get the Meg McMuffins ready before 11 because, you know, McDonald's shuts down at 11.
Yeah, so go before they shut down the breakfast.
Yes, sir.
Cool. All right, man. Well, yeah, hopefully we get a good fight and have something exciting to talk about.